Hey everyone, welcome back. Today we're going deep, really deep, into the world of thin wall injection molding. You know, it's how they make all those really thin but strong plastic parts. You see them everywhere. Electronics, medical devices, even those super thin phone cases. We've got a ton of sources going back here. And trust me, by the end of this, you'll be able to impress all your friends with your crazy knowledge of plastic. So, if you ever wondered how they make those intricate parts so thin without, you know, sacrificing strength.
It really is a fascinating process. And it all starts with choosing the right plastic. You can't just use any old plastic. It needs to have specific properties to handle the demands of thin wall molding.
Okay, so break that down for me. What makes a plastic the right plastic for this process?
Well, one of the most important things is something called high fluidity. Imagine trying to pour pancake batter into a mold. With all these tiny little details, you need that batter to flow easily and quickly to get into all those nooks and crannies, right? What's the same with plastic? In thin wall injection molding, it needs to have exceptional flow properties to make sure those thin sections are completely filled. We're talking materials like modified polypropylene, you know, PP, and polystyrene, or PS. They're popular choices because they flow easily, even into those really tight spaces.
So it's like a race against time. The plastic has to fill the mold before it cools and hardens.
Exactly. But it's not just about speed. The plastic also needs to endure those high temperatures without breaking down. And that's where thermal stability comes in. Mm-hmm. You know, a great example of that is your phone case. Think about how it doesn't melt, even when it's sitting in the sun. That's thermal stability at work.
That's a really good point. It's easy to forget just how complex the science is behind those everyday objects. So we need high fluidity for
easy
filling and thermal stability for durability. But I imagine there's more to it when choosing the right plastic, especially with those super intricate designs.
Oh, you're absolutely right. The intricacies of the design play a huge role in making sure the molding process is successful. For example, trying to get a uniform wall thickness across the entire part can be a real challenge, especially when you're dealing with those really thin sections. If the plastic doesn't flow properly, you can end up with weak spots or inconsistencies in the final product.
Ah, so that's where the real expertise comes in. It's not just about grabbing any plastic off the shelf. It's about understanding how it will behave in the mold.
Precisely. And let's not forget about the potential for short shots. That's when the plastic doesn't completely fill the mold. Again, having a material with high fluidity is super important to avoid that issue.
Okay, so choosing the right plastic is this balancing act between something that flows well, can handle the heat, and will fill that mold perfectly to make a strong, flawless part.
You nailed it. And on top of all that, we have to keep in mind the cost of these materials. Sometimes a super high-end, super heat-resistant plastic might be totally overkill for a simple part. It's all about finding that sweet spot between performance and budget.
It's all about finding that Goldilocks zone. Not too expensive, not too basic, just right for the application. So let's say we've found our perfect plastic. What's next? I'd imagine the mold itself is pretty important.
Oh, absolutely. The mold design is critical. In thin wall injection molding, remember our pancake batter analogy? Well, if you try to pour that batter into a really detailed mold, you need to make sure the mold is designed just right so that everything flows smoothly and evenly. It's the same with the plastic.
Okay, that makes sense. But what makes a mold design right for these thin wall parts?
One of the most crucial things is the gate design. That's the entry point where the molten plastic flows into the mold. Larger gates let the mold fill faster, which means we can make more parts in less time. But it's not just about size. You have to think about the position too. The strategic positioning of the gate is super important. If you put the gate close to the thin sections, it helps the plastic reach those areas quickly and evenly. This reduces the risk of inconsistencies.
It's like a sprinkler system. You want those sprinklers positioned just right so your whole lawn gets watered evenly.
That's a fantastic analogy. And just like a good irrigation system, a well-designed mold ensures that the molten plastic flows smoothly and consistently throughout the entire mold cavity. But we're not done yet. We also have to think about cooling.
Cooling? Why is that so important?
Well, imagine the molten plastic entering the mold needs to cool down and solidify in a really controlled way to keep its shape and its integrity. If it cools too quickly in one area and too slowly in another, you could end up with warping or uneven shrinkage, or even internal stresses within the plastic.
So it's not just about getting the plastic in. It's about managing the change.
Right.
From liquid to solid. Sounds like a delicate dance of temperature and timing. Are there specific techniques to ensure even cooling within the mold?
There are. And some of them are pretty amazing. For instance, one technique uses what we call conformal cooling channels. And these channels are designed to follow the shape of the mold, which allows for targeted cooling in very specific areas.
Okay, so I'm picturing this. Are these channels like tiny pipes running through the mold?
You got it. It's like having a custom fit cooling system that delivers coolant, usually water, to the exact spot that needs it. This helps us control the temperature more precisely and eliminate those hotspots that can cause problems during cooling.
Wow, that's really impressive. It's like a miniature plumbing system built right into the mold. Mold design sounds like both an art and a science, requiring a deep understanding of.
Materials, engineering, and even a bit of thermodynamics. You're absolutely right. It's a highly specialized field, and the people who design these molds are essential for making those high-quality, thin-walled parts.
Okay, so we've got our perfectly chosen plastic and our meticulously designed mold.
Yeah.
What happens next?
Now we get to the heart of it all, the injection molding itself. This is where we really fine-tune things to make sure every part comes out perfectly.
All right, let's dive into that. What are some of the key things we need to fine-tune?
It's kind of like baking a cake. You've got your ingredients, your
Yeah.
mixing bowl, and your oven. But to get the perfect cake, you need to get the oven temperature right and the baking time just right. It's the same idea here. We have our plastic, our mold, and our injection molding machine. But to get that flawless part, we need to control things very carefully. Things like the injection speed, the pressure, and the temperature. Yeah, it's a delicate balance. For example, take injection speed. We need to inject that plastic fast enough to fill the mold before it cools and hardens, especially with those really thin sections. But
Right.
if we go too fast, we can actually damage the plastic or cause defects in the part.
So it's about finding that sweet spot between speed and precision.
Exactly. Then we've got injection pressure. We need enough pressure to push that plastic into every little corner of the mold. That's how we get a nice, complete, and detailed part. But if pressure's too high, we could stress the mold. It might even break.
It sounds like there's not much room for error, are there? Like,
Yeah.
guidelines or rules that help determine the ideal injection speed and pressure.
Definitely. There's a lot of science that goes into figuring out those optimal parameters. For example, the viscosity of the plastic, how easily it flows, that plays a big role. If you have a really viscous plastic, it'll need higher injection pressure compared to a plastic that flows really easily.
So it's not a one-size-fits-all approach. What about the temperature? I bet that's important too.
Absolutely. Temperature is another really critical factor. We have to heat the plastic up to a specific temperature. So it's molten and flowable, ready for injection. But here's the interesting thing. The mold needs to be at a specific temperature
Oh,
too.
interesting. Why is that?
It all comes down to how quickly the plastic cools and solidifies. If the mold's colder, the plastic cools faster, which means we can churn out more parts more quickly. But if the mold's too cold, the plastic might harden before it fills up all those fine details, and then you end up with incomplete or flawed parts.
I see. So it's got to be just right. Kind of like Goldilocks. Not too hot, not too cold.
Exactly. It's about finding that Goldilocks zone for both the plastic and the mold temperatures. Not too hot, not too cold, just right to make sure the cooling process is nice and smooth and controlled.
We've talked about choosing the right plastic, the intricacies of mold design, and this delicate balance of speed, pressure, and temperature. There's a lot that can go wrong if things aren't just right.
You're absolutely right. And that's why having the right equipment is so important. We need machines that can maintain these precise parameters consistently every single time.
Which brings us to high-speed injection molding machines. They're really essential for this whole process.
Okay, let's talk about those machines. What makes them so special? Well, remember when we talked about injection speed with thin wall molding? We have to inject the plastic fast to fill those thin sections before it has a chance to cool. And that's what these machines do. They're built for speed. They can handle these high injection speeds, which lets us make these really intricate parts with those thin walls without sacrificing quality.
So they're not just fast, they're built to handle the specific demands of this process. What else makes these machines so good for thin wall molding?
Another key thing is they can control the injection pressure very precisely. Remember, we need enough pressure to fill the mold, but we don't want to overdo it. And these high-speed machines, they've got these sophisticated controls that let us fine-tune the injection pressure so we get optimal filling without putting too much stress on the mold.
It's all about that precision. We've been talking a lot about the technical stuff, but what about the environmental impact? Is thin wall injection molding a sustainable process?
That's a really great question, and it's something that more and more people are thinking about. The good news is thin wall injection molding does have some sustainability advantages compared to some other processes.
Really? I don't think I would have guessed that. Tell me more.
Well, one of the biggest things is we're using less material overall because we're making these thin walls. We need significantly less plastic to make each part. Less material, less waste, lower carbon footprint.
So less is more.
Yeah, pretty much.
What else makes thin wall molding sustainable?
For instance, think about those lightweight parts, especially in industries like automotive and aerospace. Reducing weight is huge. So using these thin wall molded parts can save a lot of fuel.
I see. So it's not just about the material used in the part itself. It's about the impact it has on other areas.
Right. And then there's a potential for using recycled plastics in the process.
That's a good point. Is that common?
Yeah.
To use recycled plastics.
Yeah.
In this type of molding.
It's becoming more and more common. There are some challenges recycled plastics can sometimes have. Inconsistent properties, which can make it hard to get that same level of precision and quality. But, you know, there have been so many advancements in recycling technologies and material science that are helping to overcome those hurdles.
So it sounds like the industry is working towards using more recycled materials. That's great to hear. Are there any other cool innovations or trends happening in this field?
Absolutely. One of the most exciting things is bio-based plastics, which are plastics made from renewable sources like plants.
Plastics made from plants. That sounds futuristic.
It's becoming a reality. These bio-based plastics have the potential to really revolutionize the industry. They offer a truly sustainable alternative to traditional plastics, you know, the ones made from petroleum.
So instead of relying on fossil fuels, we could be making durable, high-quality plastics from plants. That's amazing. What are the challenges there?
Well, there are some. For instance, some bio-based plastics don't have the same performance as traditional plastics. They might be more sensitive to heat or moisture, maybe not as strong or durable.
It's a balancing act. Sustainability versus performance.
Yeah, sometimes. But researchers are always working to make them better. And they're making great progress. We're seeing new bio-based plastics. They're just as good or even better than traditional plastics. And that opens up a whole world of possibilities for thin wall molding.
That's incredible. That sounds like the future of thin wall injection molding is full of possibilities.
It really is. It's all about pushing the limits of both sustainability and performance.
Okay, so we've covered sustainability, which is great. But there's one more thing we need to talk about. Cost. This all seems very complex. I'm guessing it's not cheap.
You're right. It can be costly. But there are ways to manage the costs and find a good balance between quality and affordability.
I'm listening.
One of the best ways to really focus on the design process by thinking carefully about what the part needs to do. Designers can often simplify things, use less material, and that can lower the cost.
Work smarter, not harder.
Exactly. And remember when we talked about the gate design? Those large gates that help the mold fill faster. They can also reduce waste, which saves money.
It's all connected. What else can help keep the cost down?
Material selection. Like we said before, it's about finding the right balance between cost and performance. Sometimes a less expensive material will do the job perfectly fine without sacrificing what's important.
Makes sense.
And then there's the fact that injection molding machines are becoming more efficient. The newer machines use less energy, which saves money over time.
So it's not just the initial cost of the machine.
Nope.
What about labor costs?
Those can be significant, especially in places where wages are high. But there are advancements in automation and robotics that are helping to streamline things and reduce the need for manual labor. Plus, automation can lead to more consistency and higher quality.
It's all about innovation.
Exactly. And as technology continues to evolve, we're going to see even more innovative solutions that are also cost-effective. The whole industry is moving towards more sustainable practices, reducing waste, conserving energy, using sustainable materials without sacrificing quality or affordability.
This has been a really fascinating deep dive into thin wall injection molding.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing to see the complexity behind something that seems so simple. It really makes you think about all the different products made with this process. We've talked about phone cases and medical devices and car parts. But what are some other things our listeners might see in their everyday life?
Well, think about electronics, laptops, tablets, even those tiny earbuds. They all use thin wall injection molding. For their casings, they need to be light, but also strong.
Right. And I bet the car industry uses it a lot too.
Yeah, definitely. Dashboards, door panels, bumpers, grills. Thin wall injection molding lets them create all those complex shapes and details while still keeping the car light.
It's not just about how it looks. It's about function too. What other industries use this a lot?
The medical field. Syringes, inhalers, even those really complex surgical instruments. They need those parts to be super precise and sterile. And this process is perfect for that.
It's amazing to think about how many things use this one process. And as technology gets better, I bet we'll see even more.
I'm down about it.
Before we go, is there one big takeaway you want to leave our listeners with?
The next time you see a plastic product, whether it's something simple or a really complex piece of tech, take a moment to think about all the ingenuity and precision that went into making it. Thin wall injection molding. It's a testament to human creativity and our ability to push the boundaries of materials and manufacturing.
Well said. A huge thank you to our expert for taking us on this journey. And to our listeners, thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
Yeah.
The thin wall injection molding. Hopefully you learned something new. Until next time, stay curious.